Let's see. Gavin Gray. Hello, Gavin. Morning.
Hi there, Sarah Jane. Good morning. How are you?
I'm all right, Gavin. I'm not too bad at all. I'm all good. I'm all good. There's so much that I want to talk about this morning, and let's crack on. Let's crack on with Novak Djokovic.
Yes, I mean, I think the extraordinary thing about this, I mean, obviously you've got the decision there that's been made. Djokovic won't be defending his title. He's going to have to get back on a plane.
Yep.
Is the diplomatic spat that now exists between Australia and Serbia. He is, without doubt, the best-known Serb in the world. It would be difficult for me to name another one if I wasn't a journalist with a little bit of knowledge about politics. But the Australians say, look, he didn't abide by the rules and he's got to go out. There are others that say, well, you know, look, he's the world's best tennis player. Melbourne is a city that hosts these trophy events and he should have been allowed to play. But I have to tell you, in Serbia, it is very clear-cut. They believe he's being victimized. They believe this is a clear stand by Australia against non-vaccination, but also, in a sense, against their local hero, their boy, their national figure. Mm. And so, consequently, I think there are going to be some very difficult conversations to be had between the Australian hierarchy and the Serbian hierarchy, who believe, some of them anyway, that their national hero has in some way been disgraced, been dealt with very badly, although I think lots of people would agree he's probably been dealt with rather poorly, that the time it's taken to sort this out. And also why he was allowed to go in the first place, you know, bearing in mind that there was social media footage of him in Spain within that time period when he said he hadn't been anywhere else other than home. So, yeah, it's all a bit of a mix-up and a sort of a mash-up, isn't it? I've already received a couple of very funny little photos, particularly with you know, people making up their own photos with memes and stuff, and one is of Roger Federer with a big smile on his face already. You know, these people love doing this, don't they? But it is a shame with three of them, Nadal, Federer and Djokovic, all on 20 titles, and this would have been a great sort of epic battle for the sport, but not to be. And I think there are plenty of Australians who think, and quite right too.
Yeah, no, I'm sure there are. All right, on to this story that I've started to sort of follow with interest. I watched again, I think I said this to you last week, I watched again the documentary about Jeffrey Epstein on Netflix. It's called Filthy Rich. It's interesting and horrifying in equal measure. The Queen, or Buckingham Palace, as I said earlier this week, stripping Prince Andrew of his military titles and royal patronages, that's his HRH, so that he can fight these sexual assault allegations as a private citizen. The latest being that his lawyers now want to argue or want to ask a psychologist who treated, I always get her name, Virginia and Vanessa, which one is it? Oh gosh, come on, SJ.
Virginia
Giuffre, yeah. That's right. They want to question her former psychologist. They are now suggesting, the Duke of York's lawyers, that she may suffer from false memories. Now, all I would say on that is if that at any point it comes out that he is culpable or there's any truth to these allegations, this behaviour now that his lawyers are displaying, and I get it, they want to find any form of defence they can, will be looked upon very badly. To accuse now somebody who is accusing you of sexual assault, that you suffer from false memories. What have you got for us on this one?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I think lots of people will look askance at this. But if you take it for a moment from Prince Andrew's point of view, he has not been found guilty of anything.
Sure.
He denies ever knowing the woman. Now, let's just suppose for 1 minute we completely understand and agree and accept that.
Yeah.
You know, he's been told, settle out of court, pay the millions and millions of South African rand, the tens of millions, to settle this. And yet, if you're him and you're completely innocent, you'd be thinking, well, why?
Yeah.
Why? Because I don't even know this woman. And so I think, and also part of the negotiating process, if there is to be a settlement, you would try and degrade her case as much as possible.
Absolutely,
but I think
right.
You're right, it looks bad. So they are approaching Dr. Judith Lightfoot. Now, this is her psychologist, asking about to see the notes that she made and the medicines prescribed when she was treating Virginia Giuffre. So this is the woman that really thinks that basically she is to be believed, but they think that there is the potential that she may be suffering from false memories. Now, what are false memories? Well, basically, according to a psychologist called Elizabeth Loftus, and she testified at the trial of Ghislaine Maxwell, that's Jeffrey Epstein's former girlfriend, she said people continually reconstruct memories rather than retrieving them as if from a recording device, and they therefore can be subject to what she described as post-event suggestion. But she then conceded that peripheral memories of similar traumatic events might actually be forgotten, or some core memories may get stronger. So it kind of argues it always round. But there's no doubt Prince Andrew's team, very hopeful that somewhere in the notes taken by Dr. Elizabeth Loftus, the woman who treated Virginia Giuffre, that there may be something in there of interest, something to weaken her case. And they're also, incidentally, hoping to speak and find access to Victoria. Sorry, now I'm doing it.
Sorry,
Virginia Giuffre's bank accounts. Because obviously they're trying to dig her out of being some sort of a money merchant, sort of a gold digger out of this. So those are the two things they're going for. They're also, incidentally, now having to respond to court documents from Virginia Giuffre's team because they want to speak to two people in the UK, the Prince's former assistant, and also Shukri Walker, a woman that she said might be a potential witness to Prince Andrew's presence at a nightclub around the time she was abused.
Now, Prince Andrew has said, I have no memory of having met this person. There is a picture of them together. I mean, that doesn't mean that he has no, you know, I imagine as a royal, you meet an awful lot of people during the course of your life, but there is a picture of them together, ostensibly in the property that belonged to, with Ghislaine Maxwell, in the property that, the London property that she owned, I think, with Jeffrey Epstein. There is a picture of him with his hand around the waist of her. In this documentary, Filthy Rich, there is also a claim by a former employee of Jeffrey Epstein who worked on the island that Jeffrey Epstein, I think he owned the whole island, who said he saw Prince Andrew grinding up against by the pool Virginia Giuffre. Have I done it again? It is Virginia, isn't it? Oh, gosh. Gavin. Yes, Virginia Giuffre. It's Virginia Giuffre. I'm having a mental block. many, many years ago. So that'll be interesting. What I also find interesting is that Prince Andrew's lawyers, prior to a judge ruling that the case could continue, his lawyers tried to have it dismissed on what I found quite a strange basis. Not on the basis that it outright was not true, but on the basis that she had signed a deal with the late convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein, that waiving her right to pursue a claim against anybody else involved. That seems a very strange thing for me. Again, if it's an option available to you as the lawyers of somebody accused, I guess you go for it, don't you? But from the, again, to what you're saying, it's the thing of, if I didn't do it, I don't want to have the ramifications. I don't want to be taken through a lawsuit. But it seems a strange, you know, oh, well, she signed something once upon a time that means that she can't do this to me. Oh, did you do it? But did you do it, though, Prince Andrew? That's the question, isn't it?
Yes, it is a very odd set of circumstances. I think they thought it was so stone cold positive in their defence that they thought, well, the whole thing will be dismissed.
Got it.
And
therefore
there won't be any need then for a Prince Andrew to defend himself. Mm-hmm. But we are where we are, and he's really looking at a very, very dark hole at the moment. You're with the photo that shows Prince Andrew with his arm around Virginia Giuffre's waist with Ghislaine Maxwell in the back, the photo that we've all seen by now.
Yeah.
Prince Andrew says that some of sort of photo analysts have said the arm, which is around her waist, seems to be much longer than the other arm, suggesting, in other words, it might be photoshopped. But there are so many different ways you can go with this. Suffice to say that he denies any wrongdoing, denies ever having met her. Mm. And I'm afraid we're going to see 2022 dominated by this case, should it eventually go ahead.
Yeah, for sure. To his nephew now, and Prince Harry is seeking a judicial review against the refusal of the Home Office to allow him to personally pay for police protection when in the UK. Now, just to be clear, a judicial review is a review of the decision. It doesn't change the decision, does it?
Yes, that's right. They're going to have to effectively put forward why they won't let Prince Harry bring his own security in and will instead have to have the security provided for him. And if you're thinking, well, hang on a minute, that was good enough for all this time, and I agree with that. He says, well, look, I've got two children now. And also, when I was in London in July 2021, my car was chased by paparazzi photographers as I left a charity event. And of course, that brings back all the haunting memories of Diana, his mother, dying in a car crash. And so that's why he wants this. But of course, whether he thinks his own security team would be able to stop that sort of thing is another matter. And then if they're a security team, is he honestly suggesting they're allowed to bring guns to the UK if they're going to be an American security team? So this raises all sorts of questions. But I do think as well, you know, it just highlights, I'm afraid, the low standing of the royal relationships here, that Prince Harry isn't even willing to trust the security that the other members of the royal family are all willing to trust. And I think it also sends a signal that he's not willing to play by the same rules as the others when it comes to media engagement. Suffice to say, we are expecting him back for the Platinum Jubilee, which is celebrated here in the first weekend of June. And who knows for what else, but that may all now be on the line.
You know, I know that Harry and Meghan and this entire situation is a very controversial one. You have people who absolutely hate them and say they've behaved appallingly, and the poor Queen and Piers Morgan sticking his size 10 into everything. And then you have people who I tend to sort of lean with a little bit more, who I'm certainly don't hero worship them. I'm sure they've got their own, you know, their own faults, etc., etc., who feel quite sorry for them. And I tend to lean on that side of it, because outside of all the pomp and circumstance and the royal family and the royal machine, they are still people. And I think when they sit down, whether it be with Oprah or whoever else it may be, they are still people who have feelings. And just because you've got HRH in front of your name, or just because you've married into the royal family, or just because you're very famous because you once appeared on a Netflix series that SJ never saw, it doesn't mean that underneath all that have pain. And what I have heard from them is that there was an awful lot of pain. You can't sit here and tell me that if Meghan is saying she felt suicidal, that's a horrible feeling to have to have felt. And it makes me sad. Forget that they're royals, but it makes me sad that as a family, things have come to this. Because underneath it all, behind closed doors and behind the HRHs and all of that kind of stuff, and the images that we see of them, you know, standing on the balcony, they are a family. They do. They have the same feelings and emotions, and it must be terribly, terribly sad. That's just my 10 cents worth in that regard. I think it's sad. I think it's sad that it's come to this. And I think you're right. It signals, more than it even being about police protection, it signals that enormous, gap now between Prince Harry and his family.
And I would partially agree with you over some of what you said. I would just mention the figure 800 million South African rand, which is what he has basically in his bank account, partly given by the Queen and Prince Charles, and partly, of course, what was left to him by Diana. No way, let me quickly add, does that denigrate from the feelings of mental health, bad mental health that they both had. But when he starts to pontificate about people losing their jobs and COVID, and when he starts to get mixed up in politics and stuff,
no.
I'm afraid that does stick in my throat.
I agree. I don't want to hear from Prince Harry about money. I don't want to hear. That's what I don't want to hear. I agree. I completely agree with that. I don't want to hear Prince Harry moaning about, I only got left however many million from my mum and I can't afford. That I don't want to hear. Felicity says, hi, Sarah Jane. I feel so sad for the Queen. Her favourite son and her favourite grandson have both let her down and hurt her so badly. My heart goes out to her, particularly in this, her platinum jubilee year. Shame on them. Yeah, it's not been an easy year for Lilibet at all. And obviously also with losing Prince Philip. All right, let's move on. Oh, gosh, I've waffled for time. Where are we going? Omicron, that's where we're going. Numbers beginning to decrease significantly in the UK.
Yes, we've just had our lowest daily case number since mid-December, so over a month. 81,700 new cases in the last 24 hours. Some experts are now suggesting the apparent ebbing of the wave basically means the end of the pandemic isn't in sight for the UK. Mm. Wouldn't that be an amazing thing? Until, of course, we come up with another variant, if it's more dangerous or not. But anyway, the number of deaths within 28 days does still remain high. Nearly 1,850 over the last 7 days, and that's a rise of nearly 50% on the previous week. So deaths remain high. Hospital patient numbers have continued to be rather alarming, with almost 16,000 admitted in 1 week leading up to the 10th of January. So that's pretty bad, although it is said that those in hospital need less care and are staying less days, so fewer days, so that's good. But it's a very, very mixed picture, and I think people are a bit of a loss as to where it's going. I think one thing is, you know, lots of people that I know take their tests at home because the tests are free here, and you get them and you're encouraged to test. But, you know, don't report to the government whether they're positive or negative. If they're positive, they just get on with it in that they remain at home and isolate. And so, you know, I think the figures, the case numbers are probably much, much higher than they are. But that doesn't mean that we aren't now noticing at least a plateauing, at least a stabilizing, or maybe a big drop now in the number of case numbers. But it's certainly moved. London was the big epicenter. That's now getting a big drop in cases. But I'm afraid the northwest of England really suffering at the moment.
Gavin, I'm so sorry. I've waffled for so long. We're going to have to miss out a few of your stories, but let's apologise. I started waxing lyrical on the royals.
It's insight, Sarah Jane. I love it.
Insight and analysis. Energy bills in the UK. That's one thing I don't miss about being in the UK is my winter energy bills. They are going up a significant amount.
Yeah, we believe they're going to go up 50% in April. Why? Well, because, of course, gas prices have soared. And at the moment, there is a backdated price cap, and that limits what electricity companies can charge. But that is going to be reviewed in April, and that is likely to mean we're seeing our energy bills go up massively. And so I think we're now going to see the likes of Suffolk's, you know, roughly 30,000 South Africa rand per household per year. So very, very expensive, roughly £1,500, possibly more. Of course, the companies can't do anything about the gas price, the wholesale gas price. What they can do is give their companies, you know, a good clean bill of health, make them efficient, and also send their customers good advice, which is why two companies this week that provide electricity and gas to households have got in hot water. Why? Well, because one of them sent socks to their customers saying, here, wear these and turn your heating down. As you can imagine, people said, you can shove your socks in a place that I won't mention because my heating is jolly expensive and a light pair of socks won't make any damn difference.
Yeah.
And another company gave out some top tips, including, why not do some star jumps in the morning when you get out of bed to warm up? Or even, if you have a pet, cuddle it. Well, again, as you can imagine, people went, what? cuddle my pet to keep warm when I need... Oh, dear, don't get me started. Both companies have apologised, but I think it shows there's an argument brewing. Watch this space in April.
He might have cold hands. He's got a warm heart. Gavin Gray is with, is with us every Sunday morning. Gavin, we'll chat to you next week. Thank you.